Amen. Don't you love him tonight? Thank God. Well, appreciate these guys singing and leading us in worship, bringing us to that place that we can share the word of God. And God moved in this morning, and I didn't get to share what was on my heart this morning, and I thought I would do it tonight, and that didn't work either. So Kathy knows I've given her that outline twice, basically, and I've not preached at either service. So she said, well, it's not time yet, so I'll get it eventually, and as the Lord lays it upon my heart to do so, and I appreciate it, and appreciate your prayers. Amen. There's a scripture, and I don't do this often, but when I feel like the Lord lays something on my heart, I try not to divert from it and try not to run from it. So I don't even know what I'm going to do with this, Kathy. I'm sorry. It just sort of happens. I don't like it any more than you do. I can just be honest with you. But it is what's on my heart. It is what's on my mind. And I didn't know it till I stood back there. And it's like I've been wrestling this thing the whole time about even saying, because I don't know what I'm going to say. So I guess you're going to get whatever comes to my mind, right? You say, that's pretty sorry, preacher. I've never seen anybody preach like that. Well, I'm not used to it. I got a whole 3 or 4 page outline right there that I'd already told her about. It is what it is. You ought to get up here and try to do it if you think it's that easy. But I want you to turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I hadn't even thought about this until I got up here. Of course, you open the Psalms, and those of you that know the Psalms were songs that were sung in worship services. No doubt in my mind, it's a reflection. That's the reflection of the heart of the people. Thessalonians teaches us in several different places. Paul talks about thanksgiving. They sang about thanksgiving. But Paul writes in Thessalonians, and this is what he says there. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Uses that word always. And again, I say rejoice. You and I, the people of God, ought to be the most joyful people on the earth. And I'm going to be honest with you. If we went by our feelings, if we went by our emotion, if we went by the expression on 99.9% of the Christian faces, we would never know that we had any joy. Hello, somebody. And the Bible reminds us, see, and he talks about joy, and he says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we think about the word joy, we think about what joy is. We talk about happiness. Happiness is what makes you frown. Because happiness is too often contingent upon circumstances and what you're going through. Remember when Jesus was born? I'm just going to make reference to scriptures. You don't even have to turn to a lot of them. But I do know where most of them is at right now. But when Jesus was born, one of my favorite scriptures of the New Testament is when the Bible reminds us that the angels rejoiced. It's Luke 2 and 14. When the angels rejoiced, and there was an announcement that was made about Jesus' birth. And in Jesus' birth, the whole heavens filled up with angelic beings, if you will. And the Christmas story, as we read that so many times, it says, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Oh, I love that word. Peace. Goodwill toward men. And I think about that, and again, I've been on this grace thing for so long, because I think about the grace of God, and I look at it as more than just the unmerited favor of God. You're sitting here today simply because of grace. I'm not sitting here because of my goodness. I'm not sitting here today because of my pedigree. I'm not sitting here today because of who I'm related to or who I'm connected to. I'm sitting here today saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire simply because of what Jesus did. When these angels rejoiced, now follow me here. It was yes that Jesus was born. Yes, that Jesus was coming. Yes, the Messiah had come. His name was Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But yet somehow in the back of my mind, you know, the Bible talks about that we are something that the angels cannot be. And you know what that is? Brother West knows. It's redeemed. It's redeemed. The angels were created. The angels were made to bring honor and glory and praise to God. They are angelic beings. One third of them fell out with the devil when he got kicked out of heaven. They rebelled against God, but the other part are still there. And every time the enemy sees you and I rejoicing in God, it is a reminder of something that he will never be able to do again. And that is be in right relationships with God. When we think about joy today, we think about how the Bible even reminds us in the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not going to stay there. But it says that you got love, and then he mentions joy. Over in Galatians chapter 5 and 22 and 23, he says that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy is something that God has done for you. Joy is something that resonates in you. Joy is something that the devil didn't give me and the devil can't take it away. Come on, somebody. Joy is how we live our lives. It is a God-given right for you and I to live in the joy of the Lord. You say, well, preacher, do you get out of bed in the morning shouting? I'm going to tell you how I get out of the bed in the morning. I get out of the bed in the morning as my mind is set upon the Lord, and I pray that my day be filled with the joy of the Lord. When we think about what I want to talk about here for just a few minutes, I think about you and I this evening, and I think about being redeemed. I mean, I don't understand. I've never understood it, and I never will understand why anybody don't want to go to heaven. Now, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's hard for me to wrap my arms around is to know that why so many people today live in their sins. And I know somebody says, well, it's because of the fallen nature of man. It's because of the devil. It's because of humanity's fall in the garden. And I check all of those boxes, and every one of them says yes. But not to get stuck there, because Jesus came that you and I, John 10 and 10, that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. He came to do something for you that you are not able to do for yourself. And you ask how I made it, and I made it by grace. Grace is God's enabling power for you to be able to do something that you would never be able to do for yourself. The Bible says, and this is love. It's not that we loved him, but he loved us. The Bible says that he became the ransom. He became the payment. He became the earnest money, if you will, to redeem you and I. I thank God for redemption tonight. Where would you and I be today if we weren't redeemed? Where would you and I be today if somewhere along life's journey that the good Holy Ghost of God had not came by and knocked on our heart's door and God gave us sense enough to respond to him and said, Lord, save me and forgive me. Wash my sins away. I promise you this one thing, that when Jesus comes by, he won't leave you like he found you. You say, well, preacher, how many examples of the Scripture is there really throughout the New Testament? I can say this to anybody that ever wanted to change when they had an encounter with Jesus, changed. But there was a few exceptions to the rules because some of them did not want to change. Who was that? You remember the young rich ruler? And Jesus said, good master, what shall I do that I can inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, he told him the commandments, and he told him all the things about the commandments. And the young rich ruler came back and he said, hey, all these things I've done since my youth up. I've done all this. I've been a good boy. I've kept all the rules. And then Jesus, knowing that he had been rich, you know this. Excuse me. I just bragged too much on my throat this morning, didn't I? And then we can see that Jesus, again, in the Word, looked back at that young rich ruler. And he said, there's one thing you lack. And this afternoon, I don't want to be a prophet of gloom and doom by no means, because I got another message to preach when I get this one done. But my thinking is, he told that young rich ruler, he said, there's one thing you lack. Would you not hate to miss heaven by one simple little thing? Oh, I know it was his world. I know he had an inheritance. I know that he had great riches. The Bible said he had great riches and he had great wealth. And Jesus looked at him and he said, take everything you got and give it away. Give it to the poor. Give it away. And Brother Russell, it wasn't a matter of him giving everything he had away. It's a matter of his obedience. It was a matter of him being willing to accept Jesus and to forsake everything else. You remember the disciples, when the disciples said, Lord, you know, what are we supposed to do? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. That's another message for another time. But when we see this young rich ruler, he went away very sorrowful because he was rich. Jesus, in the parable, he talked about how it would be much easier for the camel, if you will, to go through the eye of the needle. In studying this years ago, the eye of the needle was a spot in the wall. And the eye of the needle was a place where the camel would actually have to bend down, crouch down, get on its knees, if you will, and go through this very small opening in the side of the wall in order to go into the wall. And Jesus said it would be easier, in other words, it was near impossible. He said it would be easier for a rich man to make it into heaven as it would be for that camel to get through that door. It would be easier for the camel to get through the door. So we see this in the scripture, and I think about what I believe the Lord wanted me to share for just a few minutes. I see those mountains right there. We get homesick, don't we? And those are Andes, I think, or somewhere. But we think about what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 40 in verse number 1. I hope this is the right spot, because I believe that God wants to share this with you this evening. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. Watch this. And he heard my cry. I waited on God. I inclined my ear, and he heard my cry. When I thought about this verse of scripture, and again, I didn't come here thinking about this scripture tonight. So I assume by my assumption and what I feel in my heart that this message needs to be for somebody, if not for the church. So I think about verse number 2, and this is what David's reflection was when he lent his ear to God. Now, the reason I say that, because this is what the scripture said. In verse number 1, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Cry to the Lord. Again, when I think about this scripture, I think about how that the Bible says to cry to the Lord. He said he made a cry to the Lord. Not only that, but I think about Jeremiah. You don't need to go there. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will show thee, I will answer thee and show ye the great and the mighty things which thou knowest not. And I think about this scripture, and I think about how the psalmist wrote this, and I think about life today. I know people, and Sherry does too, and we've known of people that have said that I have prayed and I have asked God and I don't get no answer. I don't understand always, and there's other parts of that I could go into, but I won't go into it right now. But I can only tell you what David said. David said he cried and he gave himself to the Lord. I inquired of the Lord. I wanted to know what God had to say about it. And then he said, and God heard my cry. In the back of your mind right now, there's a time in your life that you were lost as a ball in a big ball in a weed patch. There was a time in your life that you were lost. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good the preacher is. There was a time in my life I was lost. There was a time in my life that, Letha, I was on my way down. And that's why I said earlier that we ought to be the most thankful people on planet Earth. Because there was a time in our life. We ought to go out of this place tonight shouting happy. Why, preacher? Why? Tell me why. Because I'm not the man I used to be. You're not the woman you used to be. And at one time I was lost, Jonathan, and I was on my way to a devil's hell. God did for me what I could not do for myself. He redeemed me. He saved me. He done a work in my heart. I was but an 18-year-old kid at the time. And God did a work in my heart. And God turned my heart. God turned my life around. And my friend, has it always been easy serving God? Has it always been easy being a Christian? Has it always been easy being a preacher? I'm going to be honest with you. It's always been easy being a Christian, but it's not always been easy being a preacher. There's a difference right there, trust me. But it's always been worth it. Look at your neighbor and say, it's been worth it. Hey, we're not there yet, friend. We're still on our way. We are still on our way to glory land. We are still on our way. But after a while, I'm telling you, my friend, it's going to be worth it all. Hold on. Don't give in. Don't give up. And don't give out. Amen. Because Jesus is going to say one day, well done, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. And now I'm going to make you rulers over much. We don't know what heaven's going to be like. We only have a glimpse of heaven through the book of Revelation with John and a few other places, even John 14. I'm not going into that right now. But if Jesus is there and everything that we've ever heard about heaven in the scripture, it'll sure be worth it all when we get there. Now I want to go back to verse 1. He said, I cried to the Lord. I waited patiently. I waited on God. Sometimes your answer with God is not a yes or a no, but sometimes it might be a maybe. Because you got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. Maybe you're one of the people in this room right now and you've been praying about something and you're sort of in the hallway, as Jensen Franklin uses that term. Sometimes it's, you know, rough in the hallway. Sometimes you're in the hallway and you don't have the answer. God's not said no, but God's not said yes. And the only thing that God is waiting on right now is for you to be faithful. God is wanting you to be obedient right now. And God's wanting to see how faithful you're going to be. All the heirs, all Luke 11, the whole thing, they were all faithful to God. All of them died in the faith. All of them died expecting to receive the promise. And how many people have left this building and how many people have left this church with an expectancy of the rapture to take place before they die? And they've already passed away. They're already in glory land. My friend, they were faithful to the very end. I could go around this building and share so many, but they were faithful. So tonight I'm just simply saying this, that we are redeemed and we are faithful because we're redeemed. You say, well, what could I need to do? When I was beginning to think about this, I began to look at verse number 2 as the main thing I believe the Lord laid up on my heart. Because he says here in verse 2 that he said he brought me up. He brought me up. He brought me up. Somebody in the room or somebody listening to me, you think to yourself, I've been down for a long time, preacher. I've been down for a very long time and I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it. I just don't know how. Just hold on to God. There's a song that talks about hold to God's unchanging hand. You notice that God said in David, he said he inclined his ear and he cried unto the Lord and God heard him. God did not leave him in the condition he found him in. And this is not really, wasn't really in my thought pattern, but I want to go here for a second. Because I feel like it's necessary to say what I'm getting ready to say. David was one of those in the scripture that wrote, and David was in the battle of Ziklag, and David was worried about all the ites that was coming against the Amalekites and all the Perizzites and all the other ites is there. David was worried that God was going to that he was going to be defeated, that God wasn't going to answer him. And they went over to Ziklag, and the Bible said at the latter part of that, it's been a long time since I read that, but Brother Russell, this is what he said. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Encourage himself in the Lord. And sometimes when you're down, the only thing you can do is encourage yourself. Sometimes when you feel like you're down, if I can use the terminology in a wrestling term, and your shoulders is on the mat, and it's the count number two is already down for count number two, and you're doing everything you can to keep your shoulder off the mat. Don't let the devil get on top of you and discourage you. I've had to fight my way just like you have. But the Bible said he brought me up. I remember the time in the children of Israel, it was a time when God had made them a promise. And they were wondering when and how God was going to bring them out. Corinthians reminds us that God's promises are yea and amen. If God's made you and I a promise by the cross, by the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ, God is not a man that God would lie. And everything that God ever said, God will do. It may not be in your timing, it may not be in my timing, and it may not happen exactly the way you think it ought to happen, but if as sure as my name is what it is, if God promised to bring you and me out of the wilderness, my friend, he is going to bring us out. My mind looked back to the book of Exodus real quick about the children of Israel when God was getting ready to send them out into the Canaan land, and they were going to have to go by way of the Red Sea, and they were going to have to fight Pharaoh, and they didn't know what it was going to be like when they confronted Pharaoh. And God had told Moses, hey, just go and do what I've told you to do, and I'm going to take care of you. That's a paraphrase. But we look in the book of Exodus chapter 3, and this is what he says in verse number 7. He says, God says to them that I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have seen it. And I don't know why God put me in this vein this evening, but I just need to tell somebody, God has seen your cry. God has heard you. David said, I cried unto the Lord. I inclined unto the Lord and God heard me. And I just want to tell somebody in the room tonight, you've been crying out to God and you think that God has checked out. You think that God has left. You think the Holy Spirit is gone. Oh, but my friend, God has never left you. That God is right where he was at when you needed him. And the Bible sent me by tonight to remind you that God is for you and not against you. And God is fighting for you even right now, because God said he's not willing that any should perish, that all would come to repentance, and that God is on your side. If that's going to encourage anybody, it ought to encourage the church this evening to know that God is on our side. Amen. He's not dead. We look here in the word of the Lord again when God told Moses, he said, I've seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And have heard their cry and the reason of their taskmasters. Let me just say it like I feel it. Are you tired of the taskmaster? Are you tired of the house of sin? Are you tired of living in the bondage of sin and bondage to the enemy? I know I am. I get tired of the devil, friend. I get tired of the same old every day, humdrum, day in and day out. I believe it's time for us to enjoy God and the pleasures of God. I think it's time for the world to look upon the Christians and see the power of God and the manifestation of God on us. That they're scratching their head and they're looking at us and saying, well, what are they so happy about? Hey, I got Jesus. Not only have I got Jesus, better than that, Jesus has got me. I mean, we ought to be happy about that. We ought to be rejoicing in the Lord every day because we have been redeemed. He didn't leave me like he found me. Hey, I was a tobacco spitting 15-year-old pickup truck driving. I still love a pickup truck. The young man about 18 when God found me. He found me in a mess. Found me in a mess. I was in a mess. I was never into the drug scene. I was never into the drinking scene. But how many of you know there's other sins besides drinking and drugging? Come on, somebody. There was other things in my life that shouldn't have been in my life. But here's the great thing about it, that Jesus came looking for me, Brother Cain. Even though I was in the mess that I was in, He did not pass me by. Come on, somebody. You ought to be shouting already. He did not pass me by. He found us. Even in, Brother Don, all of our mess. I'm going to say this by faith. Sherry knows, and I know, and we know. We know people that are in messes. We know people that are in absolute messes. And I hear it all week long when I deal with different things through the week. And y'all think I just go home and eat coconut cake, Brother Horace, all week long. I don't do that. It's every day. It's an everyday thing that we're involved in. But you know what? It's okay. Because God says, I'm with you. I'm with you and I'm fighting for you. Look at the next thing. Verse number seven, the latter part. God said, I know their sorrows. I know what they're going through. I see their anguish. I see their pain. Let me use this word. I see their frustration or frustration. It ain't got an L in it, I don't think. Frustration. I see it. Question. Let's be honest. Let's get real. We normally have real church on Wednesday night, but we'll be real church tonight. Let's get real for a minute. Did you come in this room discouraged? Did you come in this room kind of feeling low tonight, kind of feeling blue? Anybody at all? You don't feel like, thank you. There's a few honest people. You didn't feel like you was on the mountaintop. You felt like that, you know, God, I don't know how much of this more I can take. I don't know, God, because I have fought and I have done everything that's within me. God just put that message on my heart right up there for you tonight. These other people, it may not be for, but it's for you. It's for you to know that God has not forsaken you. It's for you to know that God, watch this, other people may turn their back on you, but God said, I'll never turn my back on you. Come on now, somebody. I mean, they was frogs and they was lice and they was flies and there was hailstones and there was all these things coming down in Egypt. And God said, I'm going to have the death angel pass by. You know the story. He said, and when the blood passes over you, you're going to be okay. Look at the rest of this verse right here. There's about three more verses here. Verse number 8, he says it like this. He said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt. Now watch this. I love this. And he says, and to bring them up. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to get up. First thing you do, you got to get up. You'll never get out unless you get up. You got to get up first. Get up in your testimony. Get up in your faith. Get up in your belief. Get up in who you know that God is. Put your confidence and trust back in God again. Oh, yes, lift yourself up. Get up this evening. And then he said, as soon as they got up, he said, I'm going to lead you out. You're not going to stay here any longer. You're not going to stay here in the condition that you're in right now, because I am your fortress, I am your refuge, and I am your strength. Again, let me say this, that when we turn to God, when we hold on to God's unchanging hand, God is not going to leave us like He found us. I believe that tonight. How about you? And God can change me anytime He wants to change me. I've said all week long, God, I'm yours. I yield to you. I give myself to you. I'm not a know-it-all. I'm still learning. I still got a lot to learn. And my friend, I've not arrived. I've not got to that place that I know everything about everything and about everything about the Bible and everything about pastoring. Some of you may already have got to that place, but I'm not there yet. So I'm just simply saying, God, I'm available. I yield myself to you. I give myself to you. And God, you lead me. God, you guide me. God, you show me what I'm to do. Israel didn't know what to do, but God told them to get up. Faith without works is dead. Sometimes all we got to do is put one foot in front of the other. All we got to do is change our mind that we're going to get out of the situation that we're in, and God's going to do the rest. He said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land. To bring them, he says, to bring them up out of the land. Now watch this, unto a good land, which is a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites. Look at this, all these ites that they had to fight. And he said, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites. The Hivites and the Jebusites. Oh my goodness, that's the ites, all these ites. You think you got problems. Everywhere they turned, it was another set of ites. You may only have one thing you're dealing with, but everywhere they turned, everywhere. They were in the land. They were strangers in the land. They were on their way to Canaan. You and I are on our way to the spiritual Canaan land. And the Bible says that consider it not strange, all the fiery darts that are to try you, and everyone that are in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. Amen. Consider it not strange. Brother Steve and myself, he says, Steve Gallimore says, one of his favorite verses is over in James chapter number 1, where he said, consider it not strange when you fall into all these diverse temptations. But he says, and this is the verse that Brother Steve always reminds me of, and he says, and he's probably listening loud and clear right now, he said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Why? Because you know that God is not going to leave you, and God's not going to forsake you, and God is for you and not against you. That's what that song that Hannah sings so much in the promise, that God is for you. I wish that we would get a hold of that. That we would get a hold of the simple fact that God is for us and not against us. We can have a good Sunday morning service, and by 2:30 in the afternoon, because of situations and circumstances and acts, if you will, your world can fall apart. My world has fallen apart so many times under my feet. I have felt like I have been standing in the sand. And then, Julie, I finally had to get to the place that I understood this is not God. God ain't doing this. This is the work of the enemy. This is the work of the devil. This is the work of the enemy of my soul. I'm telling you, we need to get to the place that we stand in agreement together against the very enemy of our soul. You see, me and the devil's on the same term. I hate him and he hates me. Brother Russell, I hope when I get out of the bed in the morning that he screams, "He's awake!" He's awake! I mean, you know, I heard another preacher one time said, we need to have enough power of God in us that we can attack the gates of hell with a squirt gun. But see, God had to give these people the victory. Verse number 9 again reminds us in the scripture, when you look at this, and I love this scripture because this is what he says. He said, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppressed them." And then he says, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh." This is talking to Moses. "That thou may bring forth my people." Brother Ronnie sang Midnight Cry. Ronnie, it ain't going to be long, buddy. I believe the trumpet of the Lord's going to sound. Another message for another time. But I'm telling you, we're going to get out of here. I'm not looking for an airplane ride, Brother Tim. He works for the airplane people. I'm not looking for an airplane ride. I'm looking for a plane air ride. Come on now. God's coming for his church. You need to wipe that frown off your face. You need to turn that frown upside down like they used to tell us in elementary school. You need to turn it around, friend. God is for you and God is not against us. Amen. You might be going through things right now, but you remember something. You got the warrior. You got the mighty lion of the tribe of Judah on your side. Amen. And God is fighting for you. God is fighting for me. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. The devil may be on the war path, but I'm going to tell you something. He that is greater than the devil is on the war path too. And the devil at the end of the journey, the devil will always end up being defeated through Christ Jesus. Our Lord. Jesus said, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory." 1 Corinthians 15. And reminds us that we have the final victory at the end. There's not any grave. There's not a grave that's going to hold this body down. He says that in the Word. You say, well, we got to wait till we die to get the victory. You can get the victory tonight if you want it. You don't have to leave this place discouraged. You don't have to leave here tonight discouraged. Come on, somebody. There's so many people today. And again, another message for another time. Part of this morning's message I didn't get into. But let me just say it and move on fast. There's too much of the darkness putting out the lamps. There's too much of the world's darkness putting out the light of the Christian. When again, Jesus said he was the light of the world, but like Gideon's army, he put his light in us. Then Jesus said there in the scripture, Matthew, and I think it's Matthew 6, long through there, he says, you're the light of the world. We need to be taking this light into the darkness. And light will always destroy the darkness. So we see here in the Word, and let me wrap this part up and move on to where I wanted to go in the beginning. Because this is what he says here in the Word. He says this, again, these are the promises of God. He said that thou may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Of course, Egypt, bondage, Egypt, sin, Pharaoh, the taskmaster, Pharaoh, Satan in typology. Verse 11, and the Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And I love this, and I got to change back here in a minute, but he says this in the scripture as Moses again says, who am I? I love verse number 12 because this is the confidence that God gave to Moses. He says in verse number 12, and he certainly I will be with thee. Wow, that's enough. That's enough for you and I to know tonight that God is with us. He said, well, who am I to go down there and tell them anything? And God says in the latter part of these verses, and Brother Josh, he said, you go down there and you tell them that I am, has sent thee. In other words, I am whatever you need, Moses, I'll be there for you. Whatever you need God to be in your life right now, God is efficient and God is more than enough. Let me wrap this up in talking about this whole thing right here with Psalm 40. So verse number 2 of Psalm 40, this is what God put on my heart along with the other, where we've been. He says in verse number 2, he brought me up. Where did he bring me up from? I think about this and I think about, look at the terminology here. Of course, I didn't look this up in the Hebrew because I hadn't had time to do that. But look what he says. He says he's brought me up out of a horrible pit. And I thought to myself, how horrible is sin? How you know, the Bible says that the transgressor's ways are hard. Hard. And he says here in the Word that he brought me up out of the horrible pit. And as Marvin then was singing the songs a while ago, I was back there processing in my mind as quick as I could this. And when you got a little mind, it's hard to process sometimes. I got a little processor. But he said he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Jesse, I thought about that word horrible. It's a horrible place to be on your way to hell.
Amen.
It is a horrible place to be lost. There was a lady years ago, I don't know, it's been, oh my goodness, 30 years ago, Brother Hall, and it was on a cassette tape. A lot of younger people don't even know what a cassette tape is. But I got a hold of a cassette tape that was recorded at the National Church of God under Pastor T.L. Lowry by a lady that was there. Her name was Mary Catherine Baxter, on her vision of hell. And in this tape, it later became a book. In this tape, I only had the tape. her vision that God gave her of how horrible hell is. Now, this has been 30 years ago. I gave it to a buddy of mine. He said, well, I don't put much stock in that. I don't really believe too much about it. But my friend, it was so in detailed. Bottomless pit. Could you imagine falling forever and forever and forever? And in this, she talked about how that people were caged in the sides of the walls of this dark abyss. I never did have no night visions of hell. Some of you in this room may have. I don't know. I never dreamed, Dixie, of burning in hell. I never dreamed of nothing like that. I got saved at a young age. All God had to do was tender my heart and say, come. And I said, okay, let's do it. It just happened that simple with me. It really did. Because I'd already lived enough of sin to know that's not the lifestyle. And I'd seen other people living the lives of sin to know that wasn't the lifestyle that I wanted to live. I just didn't want to live that. And I think today, Brother Tim, and I look at people today, you see them on your job, I look at people today and they're on their way to a devil's hell. And I look, Brother Russell, at the misery in their face. I look at the sadness in their face, and I look at the absolute despair in their face, and I think to myself, there's another way. I think I'm out of camera, matter of fact, for the internet. There's another way. If you just turn your life over to God, there's another way. God can give you a better life. God can turn your life around. God can take the horrible situation that you're in right now. Hey, how many of you know when God gets in the arrangements, it's a whole lot better than living still in a bad situation without God. Your situation may not immediately change, but hey, at least you're living it with God. Come on, somebody. But I thought about how horrible so many lives, so many people's lives are today. I see them all the time. You see them all the time. I was somewhere this afternoon and getting some stuff at the store. Had the boys with me. There's this woman come by me. I went to a Tractor Supply to get some dog food. I wasn't going to eat it. It's for my dogs, but sorry, I had to do that. But I just, this person was there, and I thought, Brother West, I just sensed the misery in their life. I don't know what her situation was. But you want to just tell them, you know, there's a different way to live your life. And you don't have to drink yourself to death. You don't have to sex yourself to death. You don't have to drug yourself to death. You don't have to do all the horrible things that people do today and trying to find some type of peace and some type of contentment, some type of somehow something on the inside of them that there's a void there. And you've heard it said, and there's a God-shaped vacuum in every person's heart. And the only thing that'll fit in that God-shaped vacuum is God. And people are trying to do so many things. And David, in this psalm, David was able to say, and this is David, because I could only imagine when David wrote later in Psalm 51, David no doubt reflected, and David knew what it was to be in the courts, Brother Scott. He knew what it was to be where the Holy Holies was. And David knew what it was to be near the ark and see the glory of God. And David knew what it was to slay the giant. And David knew what it was to win the great victories. But David also knew what it felt like to lose it all, because of decisions that he made and ended up in an adulterous bed with Bathsheba. And the situation there, you can only imagine David's misnomer, his how he felt. You can only imagine that. So many people today, my friend, have sinned and fallen aside and fallen away. Sometimes people get to a place in their life that they feel like that God don't love them. I'm not going to say that sin's okay. I'm not going to condone sin. I'm not going to do that. But somehow in my heart today, I don't believe that God is willing that anybody perish and go to hell. He died to keep people from dying and going to hell. No matter how far they've gone, no matter what they've done, I still believe there's an opportunity for people to get saved if they'll turn their life back to God. And I believe that David knew this. I believe that David felt that pain. And I believe that David knew the anguish of what it was to be with God and then to fall away from God. I don't want that experience. I remember there were some people that went to the Woodfin Church years ago. Brother Dotson would be able to tell you this. This man and this woman, Sherry, remembers it. And they were in the church and they were really doing good in the church. And they had came out of a motorcycle gang and they had come out of a rough lifestyle. And then all of a sudden, this girl and this guy, they start hanging back around with the wrong people and doing the wrong things at the wrong place. And then all of a sudden, they're backslid, Brother Cain, and they're back out into the world. And the girl told Pastor Dawson, I wanted to know what it felt like to backslide and then come back to God. She said that. Brother Dawson told me that with his own mouth, so I know it's to be the truth. And I'm thinking, I don't ever want to backslide just to know what it feels like to backslide just because I can tell people. You know what? The plan might have been ideal, but as far as I know, Brother West, they never come back. Sherry and I was doing this in the car yesterday, and then I've got to wrap it up. Well, I was doing this in the car yesterday, talking about the prodigal son. Sin will take you further than you're willing to go. Cost you more than you're willing to pay and keep you longer than you're willing to stay. I look at our young people today and I'm saying, God, spare these young people. And I got to hurry, I know. Spare these young people. God, don't let these young people witness and go through the things that me and Brother Robert's seen. Because we've seen them. I've seen them. You say, I've never done them, but I've seen them. I've witnessed it. I've seen it in other people's lives, and I've seen what it costs people. And young people today, they may think a little drink here and a little snort there and here a little there, a little everywhere, just a little. No. It'll put a hook in your jaw, and it'll take you down a horrible path. It'll take you down a horrible path that you don't want to go down. When we think about what the scripture said, David said, he lifted me up. Jody, if you can come. He said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. Is there anybody in this room that God has lifted you up out of a horrible pit? Is there anybody in the room? This is the message that God put me on right a while ago. That God has lifted us up out of the horrible pit. We ought to leave this place shouting tonight. We ought to leave this place rejoicing tonight. Because here we don't want to be like the Pharisee that smote his breast and looked at the poor sinner and said, I pray and I fast and I do this 3 days a week or however many days a week, but at least I'm not like this poor sinner. No, there go I, save the grace of God. And Paul said that he was grateful because he was the chief of sinners, but look what he did for Paul. And if God can do it for Paul, God can do it for you and me. But in this room, God has spared us, and God has lifted us up out of a horrible pit. I was sinking deep in sin, as the old song says. But thank God for grace. Thank God for His mercy. And He said, and He lifted me out of the miry pit and out of the miry clay. And that's not Clary May, but it's miry clay. One preacher was preaching and got it twisted up. Miry clay. I think about quicksand, Brother Scott. You could talk about quicksand and get out in the woods, and the more you move in it, the deeper you go into it. I've never seen quicksand. I've never been in quicksand. But I've watched enough TV to know what they say it is on Discovery Channel. Every time you move, you keep sinking deeper in it. Every time you get around sin, every time you get around things you know you ought not be doing, every time you get around people that you ought not be around, they'll always drag you down into sin. You say, well, here's the thing, Brenda. People call us holy rollers. They say, oh, you're the snooty people. Oh, you're the ones from the other side of town. You're better. You're one of those goody-goody too. Oh, you're holier than thou. That's what we get accused of. No, I'm not holier than nothing. Because I know where I've been and I know how God brought me out. But I know what I'm not going back into. Come on, somebody. I'm not going back into sin. I'm not going back that road. Come on now. I know. Your friends are limited when you start claiming Jesus. Come on, somebody. Your friends are limited. Your family's limited too. They don't want to be around you. Come on, somebody. But you know what? As long as I got Him. Woo! As long as I got Jesus. Don't need nobody else. Come on now. As long as I got King Jesus. David was rejoicing in this psalm, and David was reflecting, and David was saying, I know where I used to be, but look at me now. I think I need to tell the devil that tonight. Come on, somebody. Look at me now. Look at where I was, but Brother West, look what He's done in me. Look what He's done. He said, and He set my feet upon a rock. I like that part. You know what? I could go there, and I'm not going to take the time to really get into it. But Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Every man that's building a house, He said, take heed lest it fall. See how your house, see, look at your foundation, what kind of foundation you got. Your house will never be no taller than it is deep. If you don't have a good foundation, you'll never be able to build on that foundation. Hello? You say, well, I want to get closer to God. Don't worry about building up. Worry about building down. Worry about building the foundation. Upon the solid rock I stand, all other ground is what's sinking sand. He says in the Word that He set my feet upon a rock. And this last thing as you stand with me, this last thing as you stand, and this is what I thought about. I love this part. He established me. Are you wishy-washy or are you established? You got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Are you a fence straddler? Lukewarm? No, not the church. He says that He established. I'm established. I know the direction that I'm going in. He said that His lamp is a light unto my pathway and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. But God is pointing me in the right direction. The Bible says, if you look at that, He established my goings. I'm no longer veering this way or that way. I got my eyes set on heaven. I got my eyes set looking ahead. And I know where I'm going. Question before we go. Is there anybody in the room today that came in this room discouraged? Did you come in this room discouraged tonight? And I got to do this the way God told me to do it, because, folks, I prayed about this for a long time because I didn't know how to do it. I had no clue how to get people to come and pray. And this is what God told me to do. He said, you go with them. You go first. The reason I come here is I stand here. And I'll say this is the way God told me to tell you. You stand with them and you ask them to come and stand with you. They don't have to stand alone. And then together you can stand for Him. So I'm asking you, if you came in this room tonight discouraged, some of you thought I was finished. You was already folding up and getting ready to go to the house. No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Give the Holy Ghost a chance. If you came in this room tonight discouraged, I want you to come and stand with me. Anyone at all? Come on. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm not going to kick you in the shin. I'm not going to sprinkle nothing on you. I'm not going to slap you. I'm not going to knock you down. I'm just going to pray with you. Come on. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to do nothing to you. I'm just standing with you. I'm standing with you. We're standing together. You're no longer by yourself. You have Julie. You have Sheila. And you all have me. And we're standing together for Him. You don't have to stand by yourself no longer at Thomasville. It's just what God told me to do. The second person that I'm after this evening is a simple person that in this room tonight, not only discouraged, but you know in your heart, you're not redeemed. This is what God says to my heart. You know you're not redeemed. You know you've played church. But in your heart, if you had to stand before God tonight, you don't know how you'd stand. You honestly don't know how you would stand. If you're in the room tonight, come. Because you don't have to stand by yourself no more. Because we're standing here with you. Anyone else? Come on, Josh. Josh is going to come stand with me. So we got discouragement taken care of. Josh is standing in. I believe Josh is redeemed, but he's standing in tonight proxy for those that need to be redeemed. But here's the thing. Maybe this afternoon, before we pray together, and this is the only way I know how to say it, maybe you've just been broke, busted, and disgusted. You say, what are you talking about? I'm trying to say that end of the month, there's more end of the month than there ever means to get you there. We've all been there. I've been there. You can stand in that spot too, can't you, Julie? Julie's standing in two spots tonight. Praise God. We're going to get her double blessing. Last thing is this. If you just simply want prayer tonight, I want you to come. I can't name out a list of 12 things because God ain't giving me 12 things. We're dealing with discouragement. You were in a pit. You need to be redeemed. Maybe you need something from God that I don't know anything about. Come on, Natalie, you don't have to stand by yourself. You can stand here with us. Somebody else. Anyone else? Brother Robert's coming. Anyone else? We're going to stand together. We're going to stand together with Christ. You say, I'm fine, preacher. I'm good to go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's been a lot of years since I knew how to do this right here. I was confused. I'm saying, God, why is people not coming to the altar? Why is people not coming and getting prayer? And why? We're not coming here to embarrass nobody. We're not going to do that. I was troubled. I didn't know, Brother Cain, what to do. And God said, you just stand with them. You just stand there with them. And then as you stand together and we stand up for him, Jesus said, as he seen Stephen, you know the story. Stephen was being stoned and Stephen was going through everything that he was going through. Stephen looked up and he seen Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. See, when we stand up for Jesus, Jesus will stand up for us. Don't you love it? I'm going to ask a few people to come and pray for these. I'm going to pray with them too. Just come and pray for them. That's all I want you to do. Just come and pray. We're going to stand together. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come tonight to love you. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a praise in the house tonight? I was in an old miry pit. God lifted me up. God lifted me out. God changed my life. Amen. Some of you that might not have even come up here this evening, you're dealing with circumstances and situations that might even be beyond your control. But just hold to the hand of the unchanging hand of God. And God is for you. He's fighting for you. Amen. Why don't we just give the Lord another great old big hand clap of praise in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. I just have to say it. And I don't know if I'm talking to anybody or not. But once God brings you out, hey, some places you don't need to go back to. Come on, somebody. Some places you don't need to go. Hey, Sherry and I know we talk from time to time. You need to change your phone directory, friend. You need to get rid of some numbers. Come on now. God will put you on a new path. Amen. Shake hands. Be friendly. Love on somebody. Wednesday night's coming. Amen. We'll see you then.